From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this update. Alaska lawmakers announced a bipartisan bill today in Anchorage that's intended to improve children's reading skills. Alaska's fourth graders had the lowest reading scores in the country in a national assessment last year. And 60% of Alaska third graders scored below proficient in English language arts last year. Governor Mike Dunleavy and Anchorage State Senator Tom Begich announced the bill at Turnagain Elementary School today. Dunleavy is a Republican. Begich is a Democrat. Dunleavy says that reading is foundational.
We have a moral imperative to ensure that our young people can read at a skill level, at a level that is going to help them advance through school, but also advance through life, give them hope, give them opportunities, and set them on a course for a productive, happy life.
The bill would expand access to pre-kindergarten. It would require that students be screened for potential reading difficulties 3 times a year from kindergarten through third grade. And it'll provide additional state support targeting schools with the worst reading scores. Begich says the bill would better ensure that state funding goes where it's needed most.
Without doing these things, fundamentally, we fail our kids. And that's not what we're here for. Today, we're here showing you that we care enough about kids that we're going to make it happen.
Begich says the bill will also make reading curriculum more consistent so that students who change school districts learn reading under the same guidelines. Begich says the bill's language is being finalized and that it will be introduced on the first day of the legislative session, which is Tuesday. State regulators will fine some Alaska Native Corporation shareholders over their criticism on social media. That's because, as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, free speech is not protected when it comes to corporate elections.
Sea Alaska Shareholders Underground is a Facebook page with about 1,600 followers, and it's the mouthpiece of Dominique Salvato. For years, the Anchorage-based Sea Alaska shareholder has railed against the regional Native Corporation.
Every year, we see the same millions of dollars go to the same people, and we just get separated further and further from the ownership of our stock.
But Salvato's comments were more than simple criticism. State regulators accuse him of misrepresenting how Sea Alaska pays out incentives to shareholders to vote in board elections. He faces a $1,500 fine. In Sitka, Clarice Johnson moderates a Facebook forum for Sea Alaska shareholders. It has more than 4,000 members. She says it connects shareholders across the country.
A lot of people are in the Northwest, and so Facebook was the most efficient way to reach the most shareholders.
Her critical comments about Sciatica, Sitka's Native Urban Corporation, electoral process brought a state enforcement action against her. She's on a 3-year probation and has a suspended $1,500 fine hanging over her head.
I think that shareholders don't really understand their potential liabilities. We think we have free speech, and we don't. I don't know how we came to this situation, but it's really disturbing.
Johnson and Salvato were fined because they violated the state's banking and securities regulations. The division regulates Alaska's financial industry, including Alaska Native corporations. Division officials declined an interview request earlier this month. By Monday, they had not yet answered written questions sent last week. In 2019, the state sent cease and desist letters and levied civil penalties against 4 shareholders for online posts about board elections. That's because in the corporate universe, any statement that could influence voting has to be preceded by formal disclosures. Yes, that includes Facebook comments.
So although the term elections is used and it suggests in people's minds the First Amendment, when it comes to corporate elections, the First Amendment is not a relevant concept.
Lloyd Miller is an Anchorage attorney specializing in Alaska Native issues. The regulations are designed to punish false or misleading statements that could hurt a company.
So these rules that are intended to apply for the Exxon corporations of the world or General Motors or Boeing are also being applied in a very different context with very peculiar results.
Enforcement actions begin as confidential complaints that are investigated by the state. But Miller says they're apparently weighted in favor of the powerful. That's because corporate managers have a legal team and know the rules. Shareholders often don't.
Oh, certainly the current regime works to the benefit of management. There's no question about it.
But that complaint-driven system can work in the other direction. After Clarice Johnson was sanctioned for her post about Sciatica's election process, the corporation's then-CEO responded on Facebook.
He had the resources to know what he could and couldn't say, and he chose to violate it.
So Johnson filed her own complaint. The division placed the Sciatica CEO on a 5-year probation with a suspended $1,000 fine. To be clear, He wasn't accused of making false statements. He just hadn't filed the required disclosures in advance of his Facebooking. And filing a proxy disclosure isn't simple. It's a multi-step process. The disclosures ask a lot of information, and it's the same whether a shareholder wants to send a mass mailer or post on social media.
It's very rare that we go to banking and securities and file an actual complaint.
CLASCA's Jalene Kukesh says the corporation tries to caution shareholders who break the rules. She's the regional native corporation's vice president for legal affairs.
We generally try to communicate with the shareholder directly and just tell them that they're violating the proxy rules or violating the proxy bylaws for our election and please stop. And usually that's all that it takes.
In Sitka, Clarice Johnson also says even though she was sanctioned, she won't be silenced.
I think that the increase in complaints to banking and securities against shareholders is a direct result of the increasing power of shareholders as they gather in Facebook groups.
Lloyd Miller, the attorney, says it's unfair for the state to regulate native corporation board elections like that of just another investor-owned company.
There really is a bit of a mismatch between the corporate world and the Alaska Native corporations. The Alaska Native corporations were forced upon people. People don't buy in based upon investor interest.
He says the state's regulations could and should be updated. They were designed in the 1970s to prevent misleading mailings that could dupe shareholders.
Now it's very quick back and forth among hundreds, potentially thousands of people on Facebook and Instagram and other platforms. And the regulatory regime just hasn't kept up with that world at all. It really needs to change.
Dissident shareholders like Dominique Salvato says the rise of social media has been a game changer.
But I warned CLASCA about that. I said, when you bring the young kids aboard with the new shareholders, they're not as dumb as the old ones. They're going to be a lot smarter and not going to be able to pull this stuff for as long.
His hearing to contest the civil action brought by the state's Banking and Securities Division is pending. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And in other news, below normal temperatures in southeast Alaska have put a freeze on an important transportation link in the region. Last week, Alaska Seaplanes announced a temporary moratorium on chill freight orders for several communities. In Pelican, this ironic restriction is more than troubling. It's testing the preparedness of a community that's already struggling to adapt to a winter without ferry service. KCAW's Ari Snyder reports.
For safety reasons, Alaska Seaplanes does not operate float planes when temperatures dip below 15 degrees, a threshold many communities around Southeast have crossed recently. General Manager Carl Ramseth says the company suspended chill freight orders because they don't want perishable goods going bad if falling mercury keeps planes on the dock.
With the amount of freight that we had on hand and with the limited flying that we're able to do right now, just concerned with it not being in good shape by the time it got to the customer on the other end.
The four towns affected by the restriction are Angoon, Pelican, Tenneke Springs, and Elfin Cove. These communities, with the exception of Elfin Cove, which is not on the Marine Highway system, have already struggled to reshape supply chains after winter ferry service was suspended due to budget cuts and unexpected repair costs. In Pelican, residents have relied on Alaska Seaplanes as well as fishermen making grocery runs to Juneau. Karen Stepanenko runs the Lizianski Inlet Cafe with her husband. Even during normal circumstances, they get milk, vegetables, and other fresh products on the plane. Stepanenko says they've got enough groceries on hand to stay in business, but she might have to switch up the menu as the week goes on. The most important thing is to keep the doors open for residents looking for a hot meal.
We have burgers, but if we run out of that, then you can always make other dishes like sweet and sour chicken or pot roast. You know, people are happy if they can come to the restaurant and get a break.
This isn't Stepanenko's first rodeo. She's been running the cafe for 33 years and knows that weather disruptions come with the territory.
You learn to anticipate. You try to get your pantry stocked, so if something like this happens, you can survive.
The Pelican Community Bible Church Food Pantry is also dipping into its reserves. The church coordinates with the Juneau Food Bank and Alaska Seaplanes to fly in everything from canned goods to eggs and meat. Patricia Phillips, who helps run the pantry, says they stock up in preparation for potential cold snaps, but even so, their inventory is shrinking.
We are low on perishables, but we're not out, and hopefully this cold snap won't last too much longer. I know in the past we've gone like 21 days without a plane, and hopefully we won't go that long.
There is relief in sight. Warmer temperatures are expected throughout Southeast in the near future, but not until after another round of snowfall. In the meantime, Phillips, Stepanenko, and others throughout the region will have to keep relying on what they've got in the freezer until chill freight orders can start flowing again. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ari Snyder.
And it's 15 degrees in the capital city. You're listening to KTOO.